Satsur Velikam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Hidati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapara Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagara Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Svitam Stra Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Dugatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kapa Sribhya Sra Kripa Sanubhye Vrcha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaitaradhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 15, The Pandavas Retire Timely, Text Number 42. Dhritve Bhutva Cha Panchatvam Tat Cha Ekatvai Ajuhot Muni Sarvam Atmani Ajuhavit Brahmani Atmanam Avyaye Tritve Hutva Japanchatvam Tatschai Katve Juhom Muni Sarvam Atman Yujuhavit Brahman Yatmanam Avyaye Tritve Hutva Japanchatvam Tatschai Katve Juhom Muni Sarvam Atman Yujuhavit Brahman Yatmanam Avyaye Tritve
Unto the three qualities
Hutva
having offered
Cha
also
Panchatvam
five elements
Tat
that
Cha
also
Ekatve
In one nations,
Ajuhot,
amalgamated,
Muni,
the thoughtful,
Sarvam,
the sum total,
Atmani,
in the soul,
Ajuhavit,
fixed,
Brahmani,
under the spirit,
Atmanam,
the soul,
Avyaye,
unto the inexhaustible.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
thus annihilating the gross body of the five elements into the three qualitative modes of material nature. He merged them into one nescience, and then absorbed that nescience in the self, Brahman, which is inexhaustible in all circumstances. Please repeat. Thus annihilating the gross body
of five elements
into the three qualitative modes of material nature. Emerge them into one nescience. And absorb that nescience in the self. Brahman. Which is inexhaustible in all circumstances. Purport. All that is manifested in the material world is the product of the Mahatattva Avyakta. And things that are visible in our material vision are nothing but combinations and permutations of such variegated material products. But the living entity is different from such material products. It is due to the living entity's forgetfulness of his eternal nature as eternal servitor of the Lord, and his false conception of being a so-called Lord of the material nature, that he is obliged to enter into the existence of false material enjoyment. Thus, the concomitant generation of material energies is the principal cause of the mind's being materially affected. Thus, the gross body of five elements is produced. Mahārāja-yudhiṣṭhira here reversed the action and merged the five elements of the body in the three modes of material nature. The qualitative distinction of the body as being good, bad, or mediocre is extinguished, and again the qualitative manifestations become merged in the material energy, which is produced from a false sense of the pure living being. One is thus inclined to become an associate of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, and one of the innumerable planets of the spiritual sky, especially in Goloka Vrindavan. One has to think always that he is different from the material energy. He has nothing to do with it, and he has to realize himself as pure spirit, Brahman, qualitatively equal with the Supreme Brahman, Parameshwara. Mahārāja-yudhiṣṭhira thereafter distributing his kingdom to Parikshit and Vrajra, did not think himself emperor of the world or head of the Kuru dynasty. This sense of freedom from material relations, as well as freedom from the material encagement of the gross and subtle encirclement, makes one free to act as a servitor of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. This stage is called Jivan Mukta stage, or the liberated stage, even in the material world. That is the process of ending material existence. One must not only think he is Brahman, but he must act like Brahman. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist. One who acts like Brahman is the pure devotee. Shritve hudvaja panchatvam tatschai katve jahon muni sarvam atmanya juhavid brahman yatmanam avyaye. Thus annihilating the gross body of five elements into the three qualitative modes of material nature, he merged them in one nescience, and thus absorbed that nescience in the self, Brahman, which is inexhaustible in all circumstances. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. Here, Yudhisthira Maharaj is changing his consciousness, purifying his consciousness. Not that there's necessarily a physical activity going on. The actual activity is gata sangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetana yaja charata karma samagram praviliyate. The work of a person who's unattached to the modes of material nature and who's situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. So, brahmarpanam brahmahaivir brahmagno brahmahutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahmakarma samadhina. Person is sure to achieve the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute, and the things which are offered is of the same spiritual nature. In other words, when our consciousness becomes clean, then the conception that there is something other than Krishna going on goes away. At night, when everything is dark, we dream or we imagine what's going on. So right now we're in the darkness. That darkness is called ignorance. And when the sun comes up, Krishna, Surya, Sama, Maya, Haya, Andhakara, Yahum Krishna, Tahum, Yahum, Maya, Andhakara. So when the sun of Krishna comes up, then our conception that there's something other than spirit and Brahman goes away. Actually, material only is in our consciousness, and because we have a material consciousness, we experience what we call the material world. But when our consciousness is spiritual, then we'll be in the spiritual world. It's simply a question of changing our consciousness. And the main consciousness that we have to change, as explained here, is that we have to give up this idea, I'm something other than Krishna's servant. Not that I've come to the material, I was originally Krishna's servant, but then I came to the material world and I became something else. So that's called illusion. Just like at night, we think we've become something else. Maybe we think we're riding on a chariot, or we become a bird flying overhead. But that becoming something else is just a dream. Similarly, we're always exactly the same spiritual being. We've always have been and always will be. But we're thinking that we became something else. So that's called illusion. And when we wake up and find out who we really are, that's called reality. So what's keeping us entangled? Basically, it's the ego, the false ego. And why do we have a false ego? Because we want a false ego. It's not like we just happen to walk down the street and suddenly someone sneezed and this false ego entered into us. We're a helpless victim of someone sneezing and causing us to get sick with a false ego. No, we're very much attached to the false ego and we don't want to let it go. That's our problem. Just like you run up to a tree, as I said before, and you grab hold of the tree and say, let me go, let me go. And then someone walks along and says, my dear sir, the tree is not hanging on to you, you're hanging on to the tree. And you go, oh, so much philosophy, you're always giving me this philosophy. Get the tree off me, help me. So just let go of the tree, there's no problem. The tree's not holding on, it's you're holding on to the tree. Oh, get a job, do something practical. So similarly, the material world is just existing because we want to be here. Krishna never put up a sign, come to the material world, free room and board. On the other hand, he says, do Kaliyama Shastritam. He keeps on saying it again and again and again. It's a temporary place full of misery. Someone puts up a sign, puts up a barbed wire fence, and it's electrified, and on the other side are Doberman pinches ready to bite anyone who comes over the fence. And there's a big sign warning, electrified fence, dangerous dogs inside, barbed wire fence, keep out. So if someone climbs over the fence, gets electrocuted, gets stabbed by the barbed wire and then eaten by the dogs, and then sues the person who put up the fence. It's not his fault. Because nowadays people are so crazy that if you did that, you'd probably get sued. Some robber in England was trying to get into the house and he fell through the glass ceiling. And he got hurt. So he sued the occupants of the house and he won. And in America, something similar happens. Someone is stealing in someone's house and he's walking outside the house with all his goods like the TV and things like that. But there was ice because it had just snowed and there was ice on the floor, on the ground in front of the house. So he slipped on the ice and he broke his leg. So he sued the occupants of the house and won. So sometimes, because people have a misconception, sometimes things like that happen. They do everything necessary to try to warn you, and then you do it anyhow, and then they sue you. So Krishna is trying everything to keep us out of the material world. He makes the spiritual world as attractive as possible. He makes the material world as miserable as possible. But everyone comes here because they want to have a good time. Better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. And here, as Krishna says, Nanyan Gunevyas Kartaram Drashtayavam Nugapashati Gunevyas Chaparam Vedi Madhavam Sodigashati. When one can see that there is nothing beyond the three modes of material nature and all activities, and that the Self is beyond them, the Supreme Self is beyond them, then you can actually know my transcendental nature. So we're watching these five elements move around, called the body, which have manifested themselves in different ways as the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses, etc. But actually they're being moved ultimately by the three modes. Our mind is affected with some idea of goodness, hopefully. That we want to keep clean, we want to become purified, we want to be truthful, we want to be austere and religious. So therefore we, because of that influence, that mode of nature, we act in the mode of goodness, when we're influenced by the mode of goodness. And when we're in the mode of passion, the tendency is, well, all right, I'm in the mode of passion, I must act like I'm in the mode of passion. And when we're in the mode of ignorance, which is a very strong mode, very difficult to overcome, then we act like we're in the mode of good ignorance. We actually think we're in the mode that is ourselves. We identify ourselves with it. So self-realization means not that the modes stop acting all at once. Prabhupada gives the example that you have a fan, it's twirling around, you pull the plug, it's not like it immediately stops. Yes, sir, we're stopping immediately. No, it keeps on twirling around, and eventually it'll stop. So even we try to act transcendentally, it's not that the three modes stop acting immediately. But a person, naiva, kanchit, that's also true, pravritim cha nivrittim cha, prakasham cha nivrittim cha, karyam, it's not right either. Prakasham cha nivrittim cha, karyam, Prakasham cha pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti na pravrittani ni nivrittani kankshiti udasi nadvar asino gana yo vichalyate guna vartanti ityevam yo vatishyate nengate samadukha sikhasvasta samalo strasma kankshina tuya priya priya udiras tuya nendatma samsiti anapamani otil duhul yas tuya netna Mitrari Pakshayo, Savaramba Prityagi, Gunati Taksa Uchite. Of course, you all understand what that means. But, just for my own benefit, I'll translate. Prakasham cha, Nivritim cha, Moham Eva cha Pandava. So, Prakasham, illumination. So we all feel good when there's illumination. As a matter of fact, we usually take the credit for it. See how intelligent I am. Ah, so bright. I'm the savior of everyone. Because in the mode of ignorance, we're trying desperately to be the controller. Even probably gives the example, one is at the point of death. And he's begging the doctors, please give me, you know, 3 more years so I complete my plans. Even at the time of death, everything's been taken away and still we're trying to keep control. So it was very frustrating. Everything is taken away that we work so hard for. And we're so attached. So it was very, that's the real pain. Prakash. But if one is illuminated, then you think, oh, I'm so intelligent, so bright, I must say, oh, I'm so. And then in the mode of passion, we want to enjoy. Why did I acquire all this wonderful paraphernalia? Because I want to enjoy it. It's here for my enjoyment. I work so hard for it. So it's another phase of illusion. And the mode of goodness, we realize, the more I get entangled in this conception of the enjoyer and the controller, the more I suffer. So let me simply be the servant of the... Let me simply remain aloof from the material conception of life. So that's called prakasham, illumination, and then we become puffed up. Look at all these foolish people, how they're entangled in the modes of nature. If only they took shelter of me, their life would become perfect. Prakasham cha, nivrittim cha. So, nivritti, this, I want to enjoy the material energy. So that arises, illumination arises, the desire to enjoy, and also ignorance arises, delusion. Prakasham cha, pravrittim cha, moham eva cha pandava. So, whether it's prakasham or pravritti or moha eva cha, prakasham cha, pravrittim cha, moham eva cha pandava, nidveshti. He's not angry. Oh, how's this happening to me? I'm such a nice devotee. I did so many things. Sometimes that happens. We do our chant around so nicely, and we get up early, and we think, now Krishna has to give me everything I want. Because I gave him so much service today. It was such so pure that even I'm amazed. But to speak of God, certainly he must surrender to me now. And then something happens to us that we don't want. You know, how can there be a God? I did so much for him. And this is how he repays me. Nadveshti sampravritani ninivritani kangshati. Sampravritani. So whether not hate or attached, so one who's not in the midst of illumination and desires for enjoyment and a delusion, who's not in the midst of hate or sampravritani nivritani kangshati, or hankering, lamenting, he knows that only the material senses are actually engaged with their objects. He knows it's all going on, somehow or another, Krishna's arranging it, but actually it's not happening to me. Therefore, one has some room in one's consciousness to actually remember Krishna. Tate nukampam sumikshamano punjana eva makritam vipakam. He knows, somehow or another, due to my past activities, this is what's happening to me. But actually, I'm aloof from these things. It doesn't really matter whether it's going to be a wonderful day and the birds are going to chirp and, you know, the angels are going to come out and, you know, throw their magic, the red carpet in front of me wherever I go. It doesn't really matter. Or today everyone's going to say you're a bad person. You know, why don't you get a haircut or something? You know, why do you wear those bed sheets? It doesn't really matter. Or all kinds of opportunities for material sense gratification will be presented to me. It doesn't really matter. The important thing is that I'm actually in Krishna consciousness. I'm not only chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm doing it in such a way as I'm actually remembering Krishna. So that's the important thing. So the modes of material nature will go on, but actually they're not really affecting me. I'm not dying. I'm not getting rich. I'm not becoming successful. I'm not a failure. because I'm not the body. It's Krishna's body. If there is some gain, it's Krishna's gain. If there's some loss, it's Krishna's loss. But it's not really affecting me. It only affects me when I identify with it. Then I have the so-called enjoy or suffering. But it's all suffering. Because ultimately, even if I'm enjoying, then I'm afraid I'm going to lose it soon. And I will lose it. So therefore I suffer the more I enjoy. If you have an ice cream cone, you're enjoying. But every lick that you're enjoying means that the ice cream cone is diminishing. So you're suffering because it's going away. Your happiness is, the more you enjoy, the more your happiness is disappearing. So how does such a person act when there is, he's equal, he doesn't become agitated. He sees equally a pebble, a stone, a piece of gold is the same. He's equal towards fame and infamy, towards his friend and enemies. And by this way we can understand the person has transcended the modes of nature because he doesn't get agitated in gain and loss, friends and enemies, by the dualities of material existence. He's tolerant. How did Brigham Muni know that Vishnu is God? Well, that's one thing. But he had three eligible candidates, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He agitated his father, Brahma, just by not saying any, giving him any kind words, saying anything nice to him. Brahma came to greet him, his father came to greet him, and Bhrigu simply sat there and didn't even bother giving him any respect whatsoever. Just ignored the old man. Freak foreheads. That was his attitude. So Brahma became angry a little bit, but his anger, although it was very powerful, it was, he has great intelligence, so his intelligence was compared to the water, so it put out the anger of his anger. But Bhrigu didn't wait around to see what else would happen. He went to see his brother Lord Shiva in Kailas. So Lord Shiva came to greet his brother, oh baby brother. And he said, stop, wait a second, you dirty old man. You're covered with ashes, you're snakes, you know, get away from me. I'm a Brahmin, I don't want to touch such a ghostly, haunted person like you are. So he insulted him with his words. So Lord Shiva, I mean, he insulted him in such a way as that Lord Shiva picked up his trident, was about to spear Bhrigu Muni. He really agitated his mind. Lord Shiva is generally quite tranquil. So we can't imagine, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. So it really got to Lord Shiva, but Parvati threw herself in front of Lord Shiva and pacified him. And then Bhrigu Muni took off to Swetadweep. And there he went into the palace of Lord Vishnu, who was lying on the bed, and Lakshmi Devi was massaging his feet. Bhrigu Muni walked up and kicked him in the chest. The greatest offense, corporal offense, and immediately Lord Vishnu got up, paid his obeisances to Bhrigu Muni, put Bhrigu Muni on the bed and started to massage his feet, and said, my dear Brahmin, please excuse me for my offense that I didn't come and greet you when you came in. I was distracted. And please let me massage your lotus foot, because I know my chest is very hard and it may have hurt your lotus foot when you touched it. So let me massage it if there was any pain. And please stay here and purify my Vaikuntha planet, because now that you've touched it with your lotus foot, I'm sure that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, will be very happy to stay in my chest now that it's been purified. So Bhrigu Muni was quite amazed that even just by not offering respect within his mind, his father became agitated, although he's the topmost person in this material world, Lord Brahma. And by his brother became agitated simply by some harsh words. But Vishnu, even he kicked him in the chest, He was not only not, he was not agitated, but he was offering respect of his to some Brahma. Therefore, it was clear that the most tolerant person in this universe is Lord Vishnu. That he's really actually aloof, although he says, Nachamatani Karmani, Nibandanti Dananjaya, Udasinad Varasinam, Asaktana, no, sorry. Nachamatani Karmani, Nibandanti Dananjaya, Udasinad Varasinam, Asaktan Teshu Karmasu, that's right. That all this work cannot bind me, I'm ever aloof, seated as though neutral. So Krishna is creating universes. So we create a painting, and everyone looks at the painting and they say how nice it is. We become super attached. I'm the creator of the painting. You know, we have three. We have a guard at the painting, and we have all kinds of security around the painting. Someone steals the painting, we have a heart attack. So Krishna is creating universes. And then there's a time for annihilation. And he's not sitting there and thinking, oh, I'm always doing this every time. All these nice universes I create, I'm always destroying them. There's something psychologically wrong with me. Mother Desoda, somehow or another, it must be her fault. She looks like a nice lady, but somehow I inherited this tendency to destroy things. In my childhood, I was a thief. And it seems all these tendencies seem to continue on. Now I'm always destroying universes time and time again. And I have no feelings when I destroy them. I have some psychological problem that I have no feelings when I destroy things. No, he's creating universes and then he destroys them, and actually he's aloof from it. He has nothing to do. Ultimately, he has no desire for the creation. He has no desire to maintain. It's all being done according to the desires of living entities, and then he annihilates it according to the laws of nature. So Krishna is actually aloof, and it's not that he doesn't care, therefore he comes yuge to try to get the living entities out of the material conception of life back to the spiritual conception of life. He loves everyone, but he doesn't interfere with people's free will. Therefore, if we want to become Krishna conscious, then we have to become tolerant. The more we get tangled in the material conception of life, the more we're hankering for another situation, and the more we're lamenting that the situation I'm wanting is never appearing. We're hankering for it, but it never occurs. Exactly what I want. People work so hard for the weekend, expecting how wonderful it's going to be, and they get just as sick as they did in the last weekend. It's never as wonderful as we want it to be. And even when we become Brahma, we'll sit there in anxiety. Oh, it's such a nice planet, but I got to lose it. Now Brahma is middle age right now. He's getting old. He only has 150 trillion, 15 billion years left in his life. He's getting worried. Time is passing. Right now it's 12 o'clock, and in case you're interested, it's 12 o'clock on Brahma Loka. And it's Brahma's 50th birthday. So if you happen to go to Brahma Loka, you might make it in time. They have a super excellent birthday cake for Loka. But I would suggest you miss it and just go past there and to Goloka Vrindavan. Ask Brahma to send you a piece. In case you get too interested. In any case, even Brahma, according to Kamsa, he said Brahma is sitting there in meditation, according to Kamsa's advisors, because he's afraid of dying. And we're thinking, I'm going to live forever. Brahma has 150 trillion years left. A little bit more than that, 311 trillion. So that's 160, 156 trillion years left. Give or take a trillion years. And he's in anxiety about dying. And we're thinking we're going to live here for a long, long time. No sense of taking Krishna consciousness too seriously. I'll miss out on a lot. But if we become tolerant, aloof, then we can actually catch up the message of Krishna consciousness and actually begin to understand and experience what is actually Krishna consciousness and be able to act on that platform in devotional service. And in other words, perform our services that Krishna wants in with a devotional attitude just to please Krishna without any anxiety whether it's going to be auspicious and or inauspicious results from the material point of view. And then we can actually get aloof from our designations that I'm this and I'm that, you know, I'm doing it, I work so hard for so many years for Krishna, and at the end, you know, I have to get something. Gold something, you know, gold bee bag or something. Sometimes even when we go on book distribution, we do some preaching, we come back, we think the whole culmination of our book distribution is not saving the conditioned souls or saving ourselves, it's just hearing our name being read and everyone going, Jai, Jai, and then, yes, finally. Finally they appreciate me. Now they know that I've advented myself in the Hare Krishna movement to save all these conditioned souls that I'm associated with. I'm actually God's gift to the Hare Krishna movement. The Messiah in the Hare Krishna movement. That's why everyone calls me Prabhu. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Thank you. Comments? Okay. Go ahead, go ahead.
If someone is in the mode of ignorance and the person is a devotee, do they have to come gradually to the mode of passion and to the mode of goodness and then go to transcendental platform? They can go straight from ignorance to goodness without going to passion. And how do you advise them to do it?
Well, if I knew how to do it, I'd do it myself. But it doesn't happen like that. I mean, we have to, there's a difference. What do we mean by someone's in the mode of goodness or in the mode of passion or ignorance or transcendental? Because Krishna says, Radhas tamas tibibhuya satvam bhavati bharate Radhas sattvam tamas chaiva Radhas sattvam tamas tata tamas sattvam radhas tata. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating ignorance and passion. And sometimes passion defeats goodness and ignorance. And sometimes ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there's always a competition for supremacy. So it's not that, you know, I'm in ignorance. But what does that mean? That, generally speaking, if you come to the Hare Krishna movement, you're not totally in ignorance. There's just a good amount of time we spend in ignorance compared to everyone else. If you were living on the Bowery, then people would think that, what is this guy doing here? You know, he's too good to be here. But amongst the devotees, sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm predominantly in the mode of ignorance, or someone's in the mode of passion, etc. But that's just, and then sometimes we're in ignorance, just like we go to sleep at night, we forget Krishna, that's ignorance. We wake up and we run around doing service, that may be a little bit of passion, if we're not thinking about Krishna while we're doing it. And sometimes we're in class and we get some illumination or we do some preaching or something, and we're a little bit in goodness. So these are always changing. It's just a question, where the predominant time we're spending, the mode, what we're predominantly spending. So that's a gradual improvement. We're working on changing our goodness into something purer, and we're working on changing our passion into goodness and hopefully our ignorance into passion. Well, it's gradually, step by step, with full conviction. Once you become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained with full conviction, and that's the mind should think of the self alone and nothing else. Krishna says, Shanai Shanara, which means gradually. Tato Nischaladi. From wherever and whenever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must withdraw and bring it back under the control of the self. So sometimes our minds are more under Krishna's control, and sometimes less. So we have to practice, and gradually it'll come under Krishna's control.
So purifying intelligence can be the pivotal point to shift one's mind and so on and so forth behavior.
Yeah.
Purifying intelligence.
Taking shelter of knowledge coming through the simple succession and applying it. That means taking shelter. Actually, try to apply it within our lives. Yes.
So you're speaking about being able to improve our philosophies to be aloof. And sometimes, obviously, devotees.
Aloof from Maya.
Yeah. Sometimes devotees become aloof towards other devotees. Another devotee may be suffering or sick, and devotees can tend to be somewhat impersonal, you know, on the premise that we're being aloof. So maybe we can just give some.
Yeah, we're supposed to be aloof from Maya. And engage in loving service to Krishna, which includes siddhati, pratigrihati, guhyamapkiti, prichiti, bhungde bhojayate, chaiva, shadvidam, pratilakshana. The other end of being aloof in material nature is being absorbed in the spiritual nature, and that's loving exchanges, appropriate loving exchanges with the devotees. It's not that Krishna wakes up in the morning and Mother Jasoda comes to embrace him. He says, "Wait, Ma, stop. I'm a brahmacharya. Leave me alone." No, because in the spiritual world, there's affectionate relationships between everyone, but there's no material sense gratification there. There's no trying to exploit each other. It's all out of love. Krishna doesn't try to exploit his devotees there. You know, Mother Jasoda, she cooks something and it's not on time and Krishna starts to scream, "Look, I'm God, don't you realize it? Don't you don't appreciate me enough." No, there's no sense, there's simply selfless service on everyone's part, everyone's serving each other. Because there is no need for service. The only reason they have service there is out of love. But here we may actually need some service. What's that? No, I mean, someone may be sick. You know, we can't say, you know, "Prabhu, I would help you, but I think it's part of your purification." The more you suffer, the better chance it is to think of Krishna at the time of death. Therefore, I'm going to help you by locking your door so that you don't get any air or water or food for a week. That way you'll suffer enough and your mind should become completely fixed on Krishna. And when you go back to Godhead after leaving your body from this mind-imposed fasting, you can put in a good word to Krishna for me. Anything else? No, when Dhammakrishna was sick, he had a hernia operation. Then at one time, no one came to visit him. So he told Prabhupada that. And Prabhupada said, "Well, you should have told me. I would have come and visited you. I would have come and helped you."
Prabhupada actually drove across Bombay in the middle of the day in the heat in a jeep without a roof to try to stop the operation.
Oh, the hernia operation.
He was next to his bed when he woke up.
Yeah. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. To the Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
What is this for? 11 minutes, 5 minutes. Ki Jai.